let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Open up your
about Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
They're not going to let us take Paul's body, Zuriel. The people who are so angry, they won't listen to reason.
I feel like it's mostly my fault.
Don't feel like that, Zuriel.
I was one of them. They might have listened to me if I had shouted more loudly.
Well, it wasn't your people at all, Zuriel. It was the Israelites who do not believe in Jesus who caused the trouble. They came all the way from Antioch of Pisidia purposely to stop Paul and me from preaching. All we can do now is follow them. And when they leave, we'll take Paul's body and give it a decent burial.
Paul was a great man. I loved him.
Yes, I... As a man of God, my prayer is that I may live the life of prayer and unselfishness that he lived.
Where will we bury him?
I'll find an honorable tomb for him. He isn't dead. He opened his eyes.
Zuriel, my son, we are all upset and terribly distressed, but look at him, torn flesh, bruised in every inch of his body, and he was literally dragged all the way from town. Unless his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ...
Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Would that all would accept him as their personal Savior. Why are you all standing around me like this? Not saying a word, gaping as if you'd seen a ghost. And where are we?
Paul!
Jesus truly is the Lord of all who believe in him.
We thought you were dead.
Dead? Me? Someone help me up. I feel conspicuous sitting down while the rest of you stand around staring at
me. Here, let me explain.
Now, you were saying that you thought that... Oh, yes, now I remember. They were stoning me. I remember thinking that my time had come. Then I remember being hit on the head. What happened after that?
Well, then they all...
They stoned you until you were dead. At least they thought so. And so did we. They dragged your body, literally dragged it out here and left it. We were going to bury you. Just look at yourself. You're torn and bruised. But God didn't let you die. Paul, brethren, all of you... We serve a gracious, merciful, and loving Lord. O Lord God of hosts, thou art strong. Thou rulest the raging sea. The earth is also thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Blessed is the people that know thee. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted.
The next day, Paul and Barnabas went to Derbe, where many people were led to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Leaving Derbe, the two apostles retraced their steps through Lystra and Iconium to Antioch of Pisidia. Undaunted by danger, they went through and stopped in these towns where they had been persecuted so severely. And then they returned to Antioch in Syria. When Paul and Barnabas reached Antioch, the first missionary journey ended. But trouble was brewing in the church at Antioch, serious trouble.
That's not as serious as it may appear.
It may not appear serious to you or many other Israelite Christians, but how about the Gentile Christians?
Did you come all the way from Jerusalem to agitate this question?
No, Paul, I did not. The question did arise in Jerusalem, and as we know, you and Barnabas are converting many Gentiles. Certain of us thought the question should be brought up and settled before too many heathen join the church.
Just what is the problem, anyway?
Among other things, it concerns the drinking of the blood of animals and using it in cooking foods. Also the method the animal is slain. Should it be drained of blood? Or is it all right to eat the meat of an animal that has been merely strangled to death?
We Israelites believe, as you know, that it is a question of health, while some heathen do not. I think authorities would admit that most diseases are contained in the blood. Therefore, it might be wise not to use the blood in cooking and to drain it from all meats to be eaten.
Yeah, you missed the point under question. Should we force the heathen who are converted and want to join the church to give up the use of blood, or shouldn't we?
Well, I can see where in time it might be a serious problem. Perhaps you're right. The issue should be settled as soon as possible.
A general meeting is to be held in Jerusalem to settle that question and some others. Representatives from most churches will be there, so the decision, whatever it is, will be democratic and binding on all churches.
A great multitude of representatives from almost all the churches attended the meeting in Jerusalem. James presided at the council, and in announcing the final decision, he said,
"In addition to this, the apostles and elders are to instruct the Gentile converts by letter to abstain from meats offered to idols, from fornication, from animals strangled, and from the eating or drinking of blood. They are to be urged to keep God's commandments and to lead holy lives. They are also to be assured that those who held and declared that the..."
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
You're a sermon in shoes. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So walk it and talk it, a sermon in shoes. Do you know the world is watching all that you do? Do you know the world is watching all that you do? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So teach it and preach it, a sermon in shoes. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So walk it and talk it and teach it and preach it and live it and give it, a sermon.
What you making?
Fruit smoothie. Want one?
Sure.
You're home early.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question.
Oh, must be important.
Have you ever had a prayer that wasn't answered?
Nope, not one.
You mean you got everything you asked for?
Thankfully, no.
Well, wait, I don't understand.
When I pray, I tell God what I want. I tell him about my problems, about work, about you. About everything that's on my heart. Trust me, I get very detailed, telling him exactly what I think he should do.
Then he does it?
Wait, I'm not finished. At the end of my prayer, I add one very important part. After I've laid out what I think is best for me, I add what Jesus told his disciples to include in every prayer. Right before I say amen, I say, "Thy will be done."
Thy will be done. What's that mean?
It means, my sweet daughter, that I'm perfectly willing for God to make the final decisions for me. I'm willing to let him decide whether what I just asked for will actually make my life better. I'm willing to allow him to look into my future and see if my choices will be good for me and for those I love. Then, and only then, do I say amen.
Oh, I get it. Then, even if God says no, that's an answer to your prayer.
Exactly. I figure God is a lot smarter than I am. His no is just as valuable to me as his yes.
That makes sense. By the way, great smoothie, Mom.
Thanks.
This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
God. God promises to teach me.
Happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you like visiting museums? Have you ever been in a museum of children's art? What if your museum were showing a collection of paintings of children and one of the pieces was mysteriously missing? That's what happens to Sammy and Ginny in this new Shoebox Kids mystery. Along the way, Sammy learns that helping others is part of what it means to be a Christian. Chapter 4, Meeting Mrs. Sheckley. Wait, you guys! Finally, the others listened and slowed down to stop on the next block. Sammy and Jenny stopped right behind them. What did you guys see back there? Sammy asked. A rhinoceros or something? Dee Dee was still trying to catch her breath. Between gasps, she tried to tell what happened. I heard Chris yell for us to come, and so I went with the rest of them up the gravel driveway. You think the front is overgrown, Willie added. The backyard is a regular jungle. Yeah, a person could go in there and disappear for the rest of their life, Chris said. Dee Dee went on. Anyway, Chris was trying to show us this bush, some sort of rose bush that grew against the back of the house. It must have been 15 feet tall. 20, Willie said. It climbed all the way up the back of the house. Well, what scared you? A man, Dee Dee almost screamed. While we were looking at the rose bush, a man came right out of the bush at the bottom and stared at us. It must have been some hidden door at the base of the bush, said Willie. I guess we didn't see it. It could have been painted green. I guess it wasn't such a good idea to go back there, Chris said. At least without permission, Maria said. I told you. Tell me about the man, Sammy said quietly. What did he do? Nothing, really, Willie scratched his head. He just kind of stared at us. He scared me, Dee Dee said. It was a strange place, and I wasn't expecting any man to pop out of a rose bush in front of me. What did he look like? Sammy asked. He was tall and thin, and he had a long raincoat on, Maria said. Did he have gray hair? Jenny asked. Yes, and it was messy, Maria said. He could have used a haircut. He looked creepy, and it was a creepy place, Dee Dee said. I'm going home. I'll go back to the Wallaces with you, Dee Dee, Chris said. I think we all should head home, Maria said. Everybody nodded and started to get on their bikes again. Wait, Jenny suddenly said. I forgot my sweater. Jenny, Chris moaned. I know I left it on the front porch. I laid it on the railing. Jenny looked at the others who suddenly wanted to go back to a familiar house. Oh, you guys go on. It will just take me a second to ride back and get it. I'll go back with Jenny, Sammy said. Jenny and Sammy didn't expect the house to be as creepy the second time they saw it, but somehow it was. Clouds had covered up the sun, and the darkness of the midday made Jenny and Sammy uncomfortable as they rode up to the walkway in front of the house. Where did you leave your sweater? Sammy whispered to Jenny. Once again, they crept up the rickety wooden stairs to the front door. Right over. It's gone, Jenny said. She looked both ways on the wide porch. I thought I hung it on the handrail right there, but it's not there. Sammy saw that Jenny was about to cry. Don't worry, Jenny. We'll think of something, he said. Sammy looked around the porch. Dead leaves lay in deep piles on the porch. He noticed a window a few feet away covered with dirt. Sammy heard Jenny inhale suddenly, and he turned toward her. Her eyes were as wide as saucers. She tilted her head towards some thick bushes at the far end of the porch. Sammy saw wide yellow eyes staring at him out of the darkness. Then he heard a low howl, and he laughed. It's just a cat, silly, he said. Relax. Sammy quietly walked over to the window and pressed his face up to one of the panes. He pulled it away, and Jenny saw that the dirt from the window was now on his face. Sammy took the sleeve of his coat and rubbed away a patch of dirt on the window. There, he said. Now we can see what's going on inside. Jenny joined him and peered into what looked like the living room. The furniture looked like it had been there for a long time. Wallpaper was peeling off the walls. A worn rug spotted with stains lay on the floor. Look there, Jenny whispered, pointing. Across the room from them was an old, beat-up couch. Lying across the back of the couch was Jenny's sweater. What now? Sammy asked. Well, we can knock again, Jenny said. Maybe we'll have better luck this time. I don't know, Sammy said. Maybe we should go get your mom. Let me try it just once, Jenny said. Then we can go get mom. Sammy took a deep breath, then nodded. Jenny walked over to the front door and knocked. Hello, she said to the door. Mrs. Sheckley, are you there? Jenny knocked for a couple of minutes with no success. Well, let's head back, Sammy said. Jenny started to answer when she heard a muffled woman's voice come from above them. Jenny and Sammy looked at each other, and Jenny walked over to the far end of the porch. She leaned over the railing to look up at the window where the noise had come from. Jenny, be careful, Sammy said. Those boards don't look too sturdy over there. Just a second, Jenny's words were swallowed up as her foot crashed through the boards beneath her. Jenny, Sammy yelled, and rushed to help her. But when he got close, the boards began to make cracking sound under his feet. Sammy, stay back, Jenny shouted. She stood on one foot while the other disappeared into the floor up to her knee. Another board creaked beneath her. Can you get out? Are you hurt? Sammy yelled back. I think I can get my foot out, Jenny said, fighting back tears, but it hurts. The boards cut my leg. She sat back on the floor behind her. Crying silently, she pulled her leg out of the hole. Sammy winced at the long red scratches that ran down her leg. A trickle of blood ran from one. Who's out there? Sammy and Jenny heard a woman's voice. If it's you teenage hoodlums again, I'll call the police. The screen door opened a crack, and Jenny and Sammy looked at each other. Come on, Sammy said. I can't, Jenny said. Run for it, Sammy. Run and get Mom. Sammy looked at Jenny sitting on the broken porch. Then he looked at the dark figure coming out of the door. Sammy heard thunder boom above them, and he lost his courage. Sammy leaped over the edge of the porch into the bushes. Crouching in the bushes beneath the porch, Sammy watched as the old lady came through the door and walked across the porch. Jenny sat beside the broken boards, quietly sobbing. She watched as Mrs. Sheckley slowly walked up to her and looked at both her and the broken boards. "Who are you?" Mrs. Sheckley almost shouted. "What do you want?" Jenny looked scared to death, but she squeaked out a reply. I'm sorry I broke your porch," she said. Sammy watched from the bushes, still unsure of what to do. Mrs. Sheckley hobbled closer to Jenny, then stopped. Her voice suddenly grew soft. "Are you okay?" Mrs. Sheckley said to her. "Of course, you're not all right. You're hurt." She looked down at Jenny as if trying to decide what to do. "Well, I can't carry you. Lord knows I have a hard enough time getting around myself. But you need something to help stop that bleeding. Do you think you can walk?" Jenny nodded, and the old lady reached a feeble hand down to help Jenny back up to her feet. "I'm sorry I broke your porch," Jenny said again. "Oh, don't worry about that old thing. The termites ruined it a long time before you stepped on it." The two of them leaned against each other as they walked slowly across the porch and into the front door. Sammy sat there for a long time trying to decide what to do. "Hiding in the bushes isn't helping anyone," he thought. "Should I run for help, like Jenny asked me to, or should I follow her into Mrs. Sheckley's living room?"
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 5, The Broken Dozen Mystery, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.